recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
This is Murky Chronicles 40 and Lyrical Spit 84. This is a Swapcast. I am Lifeful, the Butcher Dobashi.
And I am Gorgeous Kenny Roberts. How you doing, brother?
You know, I'm doing very well. I'm glad we're back with another episode. And I want to apologize to the Lyrical Spit listeners. This is a Swapcast, and I just didn't want them to feel left out. I took the month off of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, and, you know, plus we both had some stuff we had to catch up to do. So, you know, I said, let's just make this a Swapcast. Today we have a special guest, paranormal investigator Bob Gilmer.
Bob Gilmer, that's awesome. But I got one question for you, brother.
What's that?
40th episode, are we swapping spit? Is that what you're saying?
I guess technically we are swapping spit between Lyrical Spit and Murky Chronicles.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to have this guest on this week.
I guess let's just get the show on the road. How about if we go ahead and give our shout outs before we go to our commercial break and get to our guest?
Whoa. That sounds great. Let's do it.
Yep. I don't know what that was. Speaking of paranormal, I don't know. It's starting to get kind of scary. So do you want to go start off with the shout outs?
Yes, I am ready to go. Let's go. I want to say a shout out to Micah over at Savage Reviews. If you are in the Boise Treasure Valley area, check out Savage Reviews, and he goes to a lot of eats and lots of goods and services. Check him out. He is pretty spot on with telling you where to go, and you'll be plenty happy. And then over at Emerald Street Kennels, I want to say what's up to Vince. His company takes care of my dog on the daily, and he seems to come home pretty tuckered out. I think he plays all day with all those crazy dogs. So, yeah, check out Vince over at Emerald Street Kennels if you need some doggy daycare or overnight stays. And then last but not least, Lyrical Spit.
Well, thank you, brother. And I know
shout out to you, brother. So,
well,
thank you so much for making it happen.
Hey, no problem.
Right now, I want to swap some spit with you right now.
Oh, now that's
I'm just joking. That is so gay.
I'm glad we're states away. But, I'm going to give Stitchin' a Bitchin' a plug. I know you're not plugging it right now because you're on the mend. So I just want to give a shout out to Sweet and Low Upholstery with the best tagline in the business. They're Stitchin' is Bitchin'.
All right. Thank you very much.
Tales from the Abyss, Jay Linderman and Pahu Rojo. They have a podcast and great supporter of the show. Check it out. They're on all major podcast platforms. And you can get Lyrical Spit and Murky Chronicles on all major podcast platforms and lyricalspit.com. Also, for all links, go to lyricalspit.com. I just repeated myself. And don't forget about the 24-hour hotline, 360-200-8779. Leave a message, and you may just hear yourself on the show. Hoo-yah! I'm going off on this Kung Fu soundtrack.
Yeah, that's your soundtrack of the day, isn't it?
That is.
Your soundbite.
Our soundbite soundtrack. Hoo-yah! You know, we just had this weird paranormal thing go off. And then I can't even talk. I said, soundtrack for soundbite. Is this episode possessed?
Could be.
All right.
I hope so.
All right. We'll be right back with our guest right after this brief commercial break. This has been a long time in the making. We would like to welcome our first paranormal investigator, our guest, Bob Gilmer.
Welcome to the show, Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is really fun.
Awesome. It's been a while.
I'm not used to being on.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You know, sorry it took so long. We've been keeping on inviting you, and then,
you know, had the month of Ramadan and other stuff. And but we are here, and thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is weird being on this side of the microphone. Normally, I'm interviewing people, so it's kind of weird to be interviewed.
That's awesome. It's good to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Well, you know, before we get going, I want to spin the first time guest random wheel, and we'll pick a random question from my roller desk and ask you a first timer's guest question to break the ice. Are you down with that?
I'm down with it.
All right, here we go. I'm going to spin it. What is the best cereal out of, I can't even read my handwriting, out of Count Chocula, Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry?
It would have to be Booberry.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of chocolate, but Boo, because, you know, the whole paranormal thing, so I'm kind of biased that way.
Okay, sounds good, What's your go-to, Kenny?
Ooh, I think it'd be Count Chocula. I'm a chocolate guy.
See, I'll
what
mix.
What about you, Dave?
I'll mix them all together.
Oh man! That's
yes.
Sugar rush there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what got you into the paranormal experience? What brought you to that industry?
Well, when I was a wee kid, I was born in the early 70s. A certain movie came out, and it was Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And I remember watching that as a kid and just being blown away by the aliens and all that kind of stuff. And I've always been interested in that. And then flash to the early 80s, and then Ghostbusters came out. And I was like, I want to do that. I've always been curious to, like, you know, what happens after we die and all this and that. And it just kind of led me down the road of, I read all kinds of books I could on paranormal and, you know, watching Poltergeist and wondering if it was really like that, you know, as a kid, just being like completely throwing myself into the realm stuff and just reading and reading. And then it led me to where I'm at now. And I've been investigating since 2005, I think it was. Yeah, 2005, like almost every weekend.
Wow. That's awesome. Do you got anything for him, Kenny?
He kind of pretty much went over what I was going to ask him as well. So that was a good question. did you have any, when you were younger, did you have any, you know, like paranormal experiences, like in the house you were growing up in, or staying at a friend's house or anything like that?
Well, staying at a friend's house, and, you know, when you had sleepovers and stuff as a kid, you know, the whole Bloody Mary thing, you know, look in the mirror and you say her name three times and you creep yourself out, and nothing really serious happened until, not knowing any better, my friend pulls out a Ouija board and he was like, hey, let's do this. And all of a sudden, as we were doing it, we let go of the planchette and it started spinning by itself and flew across the room in front of like seven people. And then a lamp like just exploded. It was the craziest thing. I was probably about 13 or so. And that was like the last time I was like, okay, I'm never touching one of those again.
I
don't know. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, this little delay here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say I had a couple Ouija board experiences, and it's kind of spooky.
Yeah, I didn't know any better at the time. And, you know, it's like it's Parker Brothers. It's a game. You just buy it in the toy aisle. And I didn't know, you know, you're opening up a door to who knows what. Because you're asking, is there anybody out there that wants to talk to me? And you're inviting anything into your house.
What do you think? Obviously, you think there's something there with the Ouija board, correct?
Yeah, because if you watch TV shows now, everybody uses like the ghost box. And we walk around in all these buildings and we're like, hey, is there anybody here that wants to talk to us? It's the same concept. It's taking the Ouija board concept and using a ghost box, a broken radio, to scan through the frequencies to ask for voices to come through. It's the same concept.
Yeah. So that being said, you know, I go through rabbit holes all the time, and, you know, and it's known, like, in Hollywood and, you know, in the music industry, you know, it's pretty dark and demonic. And do you think, like, Parker Brothers or whoever that put out the Ouija board, do you think there's a connection between all that?
I don't know about that, because they think it's a game, and it's all depending on how you use it. It's almost like any kind of toy that you get, it's all on the person that's using that toy. So if you are, you know, if your intent to use a Nerf gun to hurt people and shoot them in the face, I mean, can you really blame the toy? It's you know, it's supposed to be just a fun, like, little party, but most people get into that darker side and they're like, you know, is Marilyn Manson there and wants to talk to me? You know, it's like, it's weird. You know, you start getting into all that weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if the company put out the Ouija board, they must know there's someone in that industry or in that company must know there's something there. I mean, or do you think you know, they just put it out to put it out to make money? I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of mind boggling.
It is, because, you know, it's a very dangerous thing. And like I said, it all depends on how you use it. But them to put it out, you know, they have pink ones now and glow in the dark ones now. I always tell families, I was like, if your kids have one of those, please, you know, that's the first thing, because you don't know their intent and what they're trying to bring into the house.
Yeah.
Well, hey. Yeah, so it is dangerous. I definitely believe that they shouldn't put it out as a toy.
Hey, Kenny, did you ever play with one of those? I can't remember if you said you had.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I've witnessed some freaky stuff with those. Back when I was a teenager, I was over at my girlfriend's house, and my girlfriend's mom and her uncle were doing the Ouija board. And, yeah, I saw that. I'm not sure what that little piece is called, but I saw it move without their hands touching it. And I was like, oh, I'm out. That freaked me out. So. It was like, that was crazy, very crazy.
Now I want your expertise on this story, Bob. I'll just say it real quick. I've said it before. I had a couple of experiences with the board. So me and one of my childhood friends were in my room. We might have been late teens. And let's say, let's make one. So we made one out of, you know, it didn't look that good, but we had some cardboard. We cut it out and put all the numbers and letterings on. And then we made a little, whatever you call it, you know, the medallion or whatever, that piece that moves around. So.
Yeah. It's a planchette.
Yeah.
It's a French word. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we made that. We shut off the lights, had a candle. And next thing you know, we said, let's do it. And we start doing it. And the thing pretty much moved by itself. I think one of us, and I remember we had such an eerie feeling. We freaked out. I ripped it up, threw it in the garbage. Do you think that we had some, you think we had some kind of weird experience with that, you know, paranormal?
Well, you see, doing all this research and stuff, I kind of wonder if we are making it move by our mental, like, because we're putting all of our focus into the planchette. Because right. We want it to move. You know, we want communication. So are we causing it to move by, like, you know, some kind of, you know, psychic energy or something? You know, it's like we're focusing so hard on this one object and everybody in the room or whatever is concentrating on that. Are we able to actually move it? And instead of being a ghost moving it, is it, like, just us, you know, causing, you know, paranormal activity? Like poltergeist activity.
Yeah.
That's kind of like why I do this, because there's so many questions. I mean, you hear about people with like ESP and, you know, telekinesis and stuff. I mean, does everybody have a part of that? And if we focus enough energy at that one point in time and the energy in the air is just right, are we able to do that with our minds? So, I mean, yeah, that would be out of the normal. So it's not, you know, everybody thinks that paranormal is like ghosts or demons or whatever. but it's also us, you know, as people. I mean, we can create things, you know, can we move things with our mind? I don't know. I mean, there's so much research on that, that it could have been very possible that you guys were concentrating on that planchette so much that your energy made it move a little bit. Or it could have been a ghost, or, you know, there's no telling.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. Now, I know I'm jumping around here, but, you know, we're into Bigfoot also, Sasquatch. And yes. Is there any coordination with, you know, people are saying they think Bigfoots are, they go through portals and jump from places to place? Is there any connection?
And that's the new concept, I guess. That's why we cannot find Bigfoot, because he's like an interdimensional time being thing, and he creates his own portals and goes from here to there and time jumps and all that stuff. If you ever watch the what's that show, Finding Bigfoot, it's on Discovery Channel. That's their concept. They think that he can create his own portals and kind of go through it, like multiverses and all that weird stuff. I just don't know. I mean, here in Kansas, we are just now getting reports of Bigfoots out by one of our lakes that we have. It's like a man-made lake that everybody goes out in Party Cove and all that stuff. But they found a Bigfoot footprint like a couple years ago. And now it's like everybody in town wants to go see Bigfoot. Until I see one for sure, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Well, I agree.
I want to see one, and I believe that there has to be something out there, because, you know, there's so much open forest and deep, dense forest, especially like where you guys are.
Yeah.
There's so much wooded area that we cannot get to. Who knows what's in there? Just like with the oceans, we can't get down to the bottom of the ocean. Who knows what creatures are down there?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
What's your thoughts, Kenny?
Yeah, he's absolutely right. I agree with him. You know, you just never know, you know, until you see it and firsthand. You know, you could either be a skeptic, or, you know, you can just keep an open mind about it. You know, that's where I'm at with it, you know.
Yeah, I said
an open mind.
I said my Bigfoot stories hundreds of times. And, you know, when I was about 15, you know, had an encounter with Bigfoot. And to this day, it just one of the memories that's embedded in my, you know, mind. And, you know, I'm a true believer, but, you know, anyways, well, you know, you sent us, some paranormal clips. How about if we go through them and you could, explain each one to us?
Okay. I guess most of these clips came from here in Wichita, Kansas, where I'm from, where I live.
Uh-huh.
There's a living history museum. It's called Old Cowtown Museum. It is, it's almost like Dodge City. There's a lot of historical buildings that were brought from all over Kansas to this town. And a lot of history, a lot of the buildings are from the 1890s, 1800s. We've been investigating there for over 10 years, and the place is like everything you possibly could want for paranormal activity happens there. You get full figured apparitions, you get things moving, you get voices, you get touched, you get anything you can think of happens in this town.
Wow.
And it's just a museum here in Wichita. And each building has its own history. But here recently, the activity changes constantly. Like new ghosts come in, spirits. It's very strange. I can't explain it. But just here recently, it's a bunch of kids. We always get kid voices, like little kids calling out to their parents. And there's no kids anywhere near town. I mean, it's all grown adults. And it's a museum, but it's all locked in fences and gates. I mean, it's owned by the city. So, I mean, it's a lot of acreage. But there's no kids around in any of these buildings. And some of the clips I sent you have, I want to say, little kids like laughing and yeah.
Wow. Wow. Before I play it real quick, and I know you would appreciate this, Kenny. Last night I was talking to someone, about the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum out in Wichita Falls, Texas. And, you know, they're getting ready to move shop to, and I think, Arlington, right outside of Dallas. And Miss McGee was telling me, right now it was in this big warehouse or a big place called the Big Blue, where the memorabilia is at. And we talked for a couple hours last night, and she was telling me that how, you know, she's been in the business, you know, for a long time, and she was telling me how some of the, like it felt like she was getting ribbed by some of the spirits of the past wrestlers, and it was very interesting. Yeah, she was telling me, like, I don't know, I could go on for hours, but it was just, it was kind of cool. And she was just telling me how she's arguing with the boys, but what was that?
And that's fascinating, because, like, you know how, like I was saying about energy and people, you know, just think about how many times in your house you get up from the couch or wherever, walk across the room to go to the bathroom and come back. And say you live in a house for 25 years, 40 years, whatever. How much of your energy are you putting into that path that you take? So it's almost like a residual energy you're leaving in the building. So these wrestlers that had these artifacts, they wear them, they have emotional ties to them. So maybe the places aren't haunted, but the objects are. And that's like with this museum, and there's a lot of historical objects, and who knows, you know, what people loved that couch or this or that. And, you know, their energy is like object. So that's a really cool story about the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Like, you know, cause as a wrestler, you guys are, you know, you put a lot of energy into, like, you know, your tights or the championship you're holding or, you know, anything like that. It means a lot. So when you pass away, your energy still, like, that's my, you know, that's my prized possession. So, I mean, of course you're going to be attached to that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, hey, Kenny, since, your household is, you know, just you at the moment, do you feel any energy at your new house? Do you feel any, you know, any just weird aura?
No, but you know, we bought this house a couple of years ago, and this lady, she was a mosaic artist, one of the great, like, she was an old lady that used to live here, and she would do a lot of mosaic art, and my wife has seen shadows in this house. It's freaked her out. And she wants every light on when she goes into the certain hallway in our house. She wants a light on because she's, like, afraid of this certain section of the house. And I swear I smell cigarette smoke. Mm. Like, sometimes, we have, like, two living rooms in our house. This house was built in the late 70s, so the layout's really weird, but in this end living room that we have, there was, like, a cabinet on the wall, and you open the doors in the cabinet, and it leads to this other room. There's no shelves, there's no nothing. It's like there's the hot water tank, but you could tell there was a table set up in there, and she must have did her artwork in there, and that's where I smell that cigarette smoke. And I've painted and I've scrubbed, and I know smoke's hard to get away, but I don't smell it all the time, and that's what's a little weird. Like, and I get a weird vibe when I sit in that little living room where those doors are, because, like, man, it's a little strange. You overthink it, and you kind of psych yourself out. So, never know. There could be something going on here. What? Nothing bad, but it's definitely some history at this house.
Hey, I got a question. So, Bob, okay, check this out. So, one of the stories she was telling me at the museum, just like Gorgeous Kenny was saying, she would smell smoke, and then she'd go in the other room and there'd be no smoke at all, and there's no one in the building. Is there smoke correlation, you know, correlation between paranormal stuff?
I believe so, because we had this old, it's like a old theater. It's called the Orpheum Theater, and, like, all these famous people come, and like Bob Saget was just in town right before he passed away and did a comedy show on the stage and stuff, but we've investigated that building multiple times. And upstairs, right by the bathroom, people smell cigar smoke all the time, and there's no smoking in a building, and there hasn't been for, you know, 20 years. because it's a historical building. But on certain days and stuff, you could smell cigar smoke, like somebody's sitting there smoking a stogie. Come to find out, back in the 20s, that's where the smoking room was. And is the smoke, you know, part of the building? And like on certain days, if the temperature's just right, the humidity, it will release the smoke out of the wood. You know, is it trapped in the wood, that smell? I mean, that seems a little far-fetched. Or is it a spirit that, you know, hey, I used to hang out here, so I'm going to sit here and smoke a cigar, and you smell like a phantom smell? Because we get perfume smells. We get all kinds of stuff like that, and it's random, and then all of a sudden it'll move around the room. So it's like, hey, I smell cigar smoke, and then it's gone, and then you take like five steps backwards, and there it is again. So it's like it actually moves around the building.
That's crazy. So, you're talking 100 years, say, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. And yeah, so the smoke is still around. You know, I don't think it would be in the wood for that long, that strong a smell, because like you said, it smells like cigarette smoke. And you're trying to figure out where the heck is that coming from? And you're in this room and, you know, there's no objects or anything. And it's like, what the heck? And then as soon as you move out of the room, it's gone. So it's in that building. So, I mean, is it residual smoke, or is it like I said, a spirit that's just, hey, this is my smell. I mean, I used to smoke cigars. So Uncle Eddie always had a cigar in his mouth. So, you know, when I smell that smell, I know he's around, you know, that kind of thing. It happens a lot, actually.
Wow. Well, you know, I just got this notification for some reason on my Zoom thing. It says there's only 10 minutes more. I might have to, like, call you guys back and restart this interview if it's okay with you guys.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll keep on going. And if we get disconnected, I'll send you guys a link right back, and I can edit this part out. So, yeah, I don't know why Zoom's doing this.
Huh.
But anyways.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
All right, well, how about okay, well, real quick before we get to the clips, do you feel that, you know, when you're in a room or in a building, do you think that the walls record vibrations and that's what you're hearing just over the centuries and years of things happening in that room that somehow it gets trapped in the walls? Anyone there?
I can hear you. Can you hear him, Bob?
Oh, Bob froze.
Oh, Bob did freeze.
Up, he's off.
Bob's gone.
Uh-oh. Okay. We are back. We had some kind of weird paranormal experience. Something's trying to not get us to communicate, but before we were abruptly interrupted, my last question was something like, do you think, you know, out of centuries and years of, you know, over the years, do you think, like, how would I say, activity or voices get recorded and stored in walls and then it like leaks out like a tape recorder or something like that? I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
No, I totally think that happens, because you think of molecules and stuff like anything you hold that's solid, it has, the molecules have a lot of space in between them that keeps it solid. The molecules aren't moving around or anything. So our voices and stuff, I mean, who's to say that some of these voices we catch aren't just kind of trapped in the walls and stuff, and it's just the atmosphere's right, there's a storm going by, and electricity in the air releases that. I've been to Gettysburg, the battlefield, and you hear cannons going off, and there's no cannons going off, but you can hear the sound of cannons. It's like, where's that noise coming from? It's very strange. I mean, and that's one of the things I love about this field. I mean, there's so many questions. It's like, will we ever find the answers to that? But, or is it like us in the future talking and asking for voices and stuff, and then we catch ourselves talking? There's a whole big thing about that. That's a whole big thing that people are thinking about, you know, when we go to these places multiple times, are we catching ourselves in the future asking questions to the spirits? It's very strange.
Wow. Now, before we get into these clips, what's your process when you go out and do these investigations? I mean, what you know, is there like, you know, a special process you do, or is it like from job to job?
Yeah, can I answer that question too, Dave, real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so what Dave was asking is, I would like to add to that as well, is when you guys go out and do your investigation, are you guys looking to try and debunk what you're hearing? Do people actually call you and come out and do investigations? Or are you guys just kind of going out and trying to find historical places that have had sightings or sounds or anything like that? What is your process? And, you know, at the end of the day, what is your end goal?
Okay. This might take a minute. Okay. So the team I was on, I just recently switched teams, but I was on a team from 2007 until just here recently. We were part of the Taps family, and they are like the ghost hunters on Sci-Fi Network, Jay and Grant and all those guys. Every state has a team that's a part of that bigger team. And when they get calls, they're busy doing their show and all this and that. So if they get a call close to Kansas, they call us to go and investigate. It could be somebody's house. It could be a building. It could be, a business that needs help. We've done all kinds of stuff. We were the first paranormal group to investigate the Titanic Museum in Branson, Missouri, because they had all kinds of stuff happening. But my favorite thing to do is somebody's house. Like you said about people being afraid to sleep with, the lights off and all that kind of stuff. I love giving people answers so they're not afraid to live in their own home.
Awesome.
So what we go into, I'm kind of stuck in between believer and skeptic. My first instinct is to figure out why this thing is happening. There has to be a logical explanation for it. And once I can't figure out one of those, it has to be, is it paranormal? Because it's not normal. And everybody thinks that paranormal means ghost. It doesn't. It just means I can't explain what's going on. Like the cigarette smoke or the voices that you hear. I can't say there's a ghost causing it, but you normally don't just hear voices randomly come from your kitchen. I don't know what's causing it. So my end game is to try to answer those questions. And all these years, the more answers I get, the more questions I have. it's like, it's very strange, but we go in thinking there has to be a reason. And that brings me to one house that we did. People that lived in the house, they sat in their living room and they felt afraid, like somebody sitting there watching them, overwhelming, like sadness and all kinds of stuff. And we've got to the house and I bring out a EMF detector and it detects magnetic fields. Electricians use it to find the wiring in the walls and stuff. So I bring this equipment out, and anything they measure it in milligauss. Anything over a 2.0 milligauss is bad for people. People are hypersensitive to magnetic fields. They can hallucinate. They can actually break out in rashes. And so it's not paranormal. It's actually caused by magnetic fields in their house. But that leads me to when I got into the living room, I was picking up like 50, 60 milligauss, which is insane amount of electricity. It's coming from the air. And the closer I got to the floor, I was like, you guys have a basement. And they had a basement. Come to find out that their water pipes ran right through their living room like that underneath the floorboard in the basement. And their house was grounded. Somebody put the ground wire from their electricity around the pipe. And so their water was conducting electricity. So it was pretty much they were living in a fear cage because their house was radiated with electricity coming from their power box. Because you turn their sink on and put the magnetic field detector next to the water, you could pick up a magnetic field. Like I could trace out their yard to the water main. Because their water was electrified, because their house was grounded to the water pipe, and electricity loves water. So it's like right away, it's like you don't need a paranormal investigator. You need a plumber or an electrician, right. And then once they got an electrician out and redid the ground wire and stuff like it's supposed to be into the ground instead of wrapped around your copper pipe. You know, the copper was wrapped around the pipes. All their sadness, all that feeling of dread and all that stuff went away. So we were able to help that family that thought, you know, they were being possessed by this evil thing that didn't want them in their house. Come to find out it was just a simple, you know, electricity thing. So
wow.
You have to be like a plumber, an electrician, a doctor. You going into a paranormal investigation, you have to try to, you know, okay, look at the situation and go, are these people, do they take medication and they just stop taking medication and they think the Queen of England's going to come into their house and they've been talking to God, but come to find out they just haven't taken their medicine, or, you know, they're going through some psychotic episodes and it's not paranormal, but they think it is. You know, because they're hearing voices in their heads and all this and that. So every situation is different. You have to go in with all this knowledge of what it could be and then assess, you know, it takes hours and hours and doing research on the house and, you know, if anybody died in the house. And, you know, that's it's a big process. It's not just going in there with equipment and going, you know, okay, is there Aunt Sally here to talk to me? There's, it could be rats in the attic, or raccoons, or it could be all kinds of stuff. I hear scratching noises coming from my walls. Well, you have mice in your house because you pull out a thermal meter and, you know, it picks up heat signatures and you see the mice running through the walls. It's like, it's not a ghost. You have mice. Wow. You know, we've done that too. So yeah, it's every situation's different, but I my favorite thing to do is to help people in their house, you know, try to think of a logic. Awesome. And not every house is explainable. I mean, we've run into places and it's like, wow, you actually have like three or four different entities in this house. And it's like, you know, come to find out Aunt Sally just died. And it's, you know, I play a voice for the homeowner and they're like, wow, that's her voice. That's her cadence. That's the way she talked. And it's just her coming back to check on the family. It's not evil or scary. It's just, you know, the family members that have crossed over and they come back and check on you because I picked them up on my recording and it's like, that sounds just like her. I mean, that's the way she talks. So it gives them more comfort thinking, oh, she's just coming to check on me. And then they're like, oh, hey, how's it going, Aunt Mary? You know, thanks for checking on us. And they're fine with their house. They're not afraid anymore.
Wow.
Okay. So one more question. Were you going to do another one, Dave?
No, go ahead. I was just going to ask,
you know, you'd talked about research. Do you guys do that before you go out to the home or after? Because does that give you like an unfair, do you come go in with a one track mind when you do a pre-research as opposed to after, you know?
For people's houses, I like to do research, you know,
before.
Yeah. Before we go in and investigate, like, especially, being from Wichita, Kansas, I don't know if you guys follow, like, you know, true crime stories and stuff. Well, BTK, the bind, torture, kill, he was a serial killer.
Uh-huh.
And we've actually been asked to do some of the houses where he murdered people in their house. And I'm not originally from Kansas, so I didn't know anything about this, you know, serial killer. And I had to do research on this house going into it and, you know, what he did to the people. And it was horrifying. And I wanted that information. If I would have walked in blind and then found out after the fact, I probably would have been like not happy, been like, you put me in a situation, you know. Gotcha. It's like, so it could be dangerous, but okay. Long story short, make this as short as possible because it answers your question. At Old Cowtown Museum, the museum I was talking about that I left the that I sent the clips over for, there's a building. And I didn't know anything about this building. I just heard there was a suicide in this building. That's all I knew. And I'd investigated it like 5-6 times. No idea of the true history. And then we started getting scratching and people getting scratched, big time scratch. Like people that worked there, as soon as they would go into the building, they'd have scratches across their chest. And I got scratched across my neck. It was crazy. I was just standing there and I felt this burning. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And that sent me down this rabbit hole of finding out about this building, and come to find out it was like the city waterwork building, and a guy working third shift hung himself in the closet. So that sent me to City Hall, and years and years of trying to get paperwork released, and I found out this guy's name. I found out everything about his life. I found out the reason why he hung himself, because I found the police report. I found his autopsy reports. I've been to his gravestone. It's crazy. It like set me down this rabbit hole to figure out why is this building haunted. And I guess to come, he killed himself in the early 90s, but he went to jail in the 70s because he killed his first wife, shot her and killed her in front of the kids, and got out of jail and then started working their third shift. And then he was going to go back to jail for child molestation, and he actually left a note, and he hung himself in the closet, and that closet's still there in that building. And, you know, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a demon or something, but it's just this evil person that, you know, is, I think, trapped in this building because he hung himself, you know. And when you take your own life, that creates a whole big, it depends on what you believe in, you know, is that his living hell? You know, he's stuck in that building because of what he did. But yeah, so without knowing that history, I would have never known why people were getting scratched. I could have guessed it was a demon or it was an evil spirit. But now, come to find out, I know his name. I've actually caught his name on a voice recorder. And I've been to his gravesite, and his gravesite, he's buried next to the first wife that he killed. And it says together forever, because the family wanted mom and dad to be together.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have all this paperwork. I can send it to you if you wanted to see it and read all about it. But
yeah,
it's insane. But yeah, it took me years to find out all this information. I have the court records. I have everything, because in my head, it was an obsession. Why is this place haunted? Why are people getting scratched? What is going on in this building? And then to get those answers all these years later, it's, you make a connection, and it's like, to me as a paranormal investigator, he's still in that building, you know, and I could prove it. You know, it's like I have all this paperwork and people get scratched, and I have his voice on recording, and people say that's the way he talked. That sounds just like him, because it says his name. Because I went in there and I was like, can you just tell me what your name was? And it says a name through the recording. And at the time, I didn't know his name, but then all these years later, that's his name. It's just a weird connection, the way it all happened. But yeah, so research is very important. You don't want to go in blind to most places, because you can put yourself in danger. You know, you never know about what the building used to be or what, you know, knowledge is key. So going in, it's a safety issue, you know, because you don't know what you're getting yourself into.
Wow. Well,
thank you for answering that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. It was a long drawn out story,
it's great.
Hopefully that made sense, you know, because research, I mean, you don't know what you're getting into. You could be getting into like, it's an occult building where people do sacrifices. And, you know, that leads you down a whole nother path than just it's a normal haunting where it's kind of fun and laid back and, you know, you're not in danger of anything. You never know what you're going to open that door and what's going to be inside.
That is true. Well, I guess, are you guys down for the clips?
If you could you say the title of the clip before you play it so I know which one it is? Or can you do that? I think I put a name on it.
Let me see. Let me look on the computer.
Maybe not. Sorry to be difficult. There's so many in my head, so I'm trying to figure out which one it is.
I'm just trying to. All I have is drive one.
Okay.
But I guess we could play it. You'll probably remember, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, I'll try my best.
Okay. Here we go. Here's the first one. Want me to play it again?
You can for people that are listening, I guess. Did you hear what it was? What did you think it was?
We heard like a little girl's voice in the background. How about you?
Exactly. So, no, yeah, that's exactly what I heard. I love asking people first, so I don't put what I think it is into your head, you uh-huh. know? So that way it makes it more real to me. Okay, so that static noise that you hear that in the beginning, that's mm-hmm. through a ghost box. And the ghost box is mostly AM, FM radio, and it scans through the frequencies at like 7 stations a second. It's just, that's the channel changing. So you listen for voices in the white noise. If you ever watched that movie, you know, it's called White Noise, where he sets up the TV uh-huh. to look for stuff in the static. It's the same concept, but with audio instead of visual.
Okay.
And you get voices through the white static noise. And that voice was a little girl. So, the sentence, you would have had to go through like 7 radio stations, because it's, you know, it's not just because it's going so fast. It's rotating so fast that it couldn't have been radio bleed through, because you just get, through the radio, like DJs and music and stuff. But to get a full on sentence like that, it's almost impossible to be, you know, just radio feedback or whatever from the radio stations, because it's cycling so fast. It's and to get voices in that white noise. And that's like the little girl. I'm not really for sure who it is or what it is, but it just started recently. All these voices of little kids keep coming through.
Wow. Okay. I'm gonna play one more time for everybody. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay. All right. How about?
Yep, I can hear it.
How about clip 2? You guys ready for 2?
Yep.
Okay. Here we go.
Did you hear that? Daddy?
What'd you hear, Kenny?
Well, I heard someone talking initially, and then it sounded like I had small children in the background. Is that
right? Yeah. That was my voice, and we were staying there, and when I had the ghost box in my one hand, I had my audio recorder. It's just a digital audio recorder. That's all it is. And I stand there and record when I'm, you know, right next to the ghost box. So I'm standing there. We were getting all this weird activity. So I was asking questions. We were talking. And then you hear like a voice that almost says, like, it says, "Hi, Daddy." And that's why I was like, you know, that was me at the end saying that it said that. It was just, it's kind of freaky when you hear little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to play it one more time for the listeners. Here we go.
Did you hear that? Daddy?
Wow. All right. You guys ready for number 3?
Yeah, it almost sounds like it was like...
Oh, what were you saying? Yeah. I'm sorry. What were you going to say about that clip?
No. It reminds me of like Poltergeist, like when she's talking through the television. Yeah. It's like with Carol Ann. It's weird, weird. It has that weird echo to it. It's like, "Hi, Daddy." You know, it's like, it was creepy. And I was just like, I was kind of in shock. I had to leave the building because little kids freak me out for some reason. I've been doing this for so long and run into so many things. But when I hear a little kid's voice like that, it's like, it just gives me goosebumps.
Were these taken all in the same place?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It was all in that building. It was in Old Town Museum. And if you can look it up on the internet, it's just a history museum.
Okay.
And it was in a building. It's the saloon right now. But back in the 1800s, it was like a building where like they would come in, like a city hall kind of building. But now it's a saloon. But just recently, all these kids' voices started popping up. And I don't know if that goes back to what we were talking about, where the voices come from. Are they part of the building and it's just being released now after all these years? We don't know.
Wow.
I mean, because that just sounded like a little girl just saying, "Hi, Daddy." You know, yep. Like, why would a ghost be saying, "Hi, Daddy," unless she thought I was her dad, because I was asking for, you know, "Would you like to talk to me?" Or, "Hi, Daddy." Maybe she's confused. I don't know. There's so many questions.
Wow. Okay, here's number 3. Here we go.
Loud in here, Kim and Doug.
No, I don't know, but I did hear something.
All you should have
heard was some chimes.
I'm
going to
play
it. That one's kind of... Okay.
I was going to say, I was going to play it one more time. I'm going to play it one more time.
Okay.
Loud in here, Kim and Doug.
All you should have heard was some chimes.
Okay, so
I was gonna say
we were talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was gonna say I definitely heard kids in the background.
Exactly. Yeah. So we were just kind of talking about something that just happened. We were hearing voices, and we were trying to figure out, like, and the guy at the end says, you know, you should have just heard chimes because there was chimes in the window, because it was windy. So you hear them talking and saying people's names about, you know, in the very beginning, and then you hear one of the people, the investigators, laugh. And then right after that, you hear a little kid, like, mocking her, going, like, right after she laughs, then you hear, like, another spirit laugh, like, mocking her. And it sounds like a little child.
I heard that laughter. I was going to ask you if that was you guys or if that was actually...
No, that, there was no little kids. And the first laugh is the investigator, because we were kind of, you know, sometimes after 8 hours of a place, you kind of go, like, punch drunk crazy. You know, you just get silly. So we were just kind of being in that one of those moments, and I just always have my recorder running because you just never know what you're going to get. Even going to the bathroom, I've had my name called out and stuff. It's weird. So I always have my recorder running no matter what we were doing, and that just happened to have – and I was like, you know, I heard it because I always have my headphones on plugged into my recorder so I can listen to what I'm recording at the time. So I actually hear these voices in real time. And that's why, like, my reaction was just like, holy cow, you know, it sounds like she's mocking her by going, it's kind of creepy.
Wow. All right, here's the last one. I'll play it right now. We go one more time. Now, that kind of sounded like a little hollow scream. I don't know. What'd you hear, Kenny?
One more time. Can't describe it. So,
yeah.
What was your take on that, Bob?
I really don't know. I mean, it's just like there's something there that's not supposed to be there in the recording. So it's like I don't know. That one was just. It doesn't come right out where you go, oh, that's a little kid or that's a little thing. It's just there's these voices that we catch.
Yeah.
And, like, what are they? Where do they come from? Because I've caught voices, like, just in my home. My home's not haunted. It's from the 50s, but I know it's not haunted because we've never had any experiences. But if just running my voice recorder just for fun, I'll catch voices. And I was like, wait a minute. My house isn't haunted. Where are these voices coming from? It's very strange to me. And that was just kind of like one of those, we were in a building and I hear voices that aren't supposed to be there because nobody was talking. So it doesn't make sense to me. It's kind of like why we do this. It's like, well, what are those voices? Will we ever know? I mean, because scientifically, the skeptic in me is like, oh, it's just feedback. But when you're just standing in a dark room by yourself and you're holding a voice recorder and you get like full on sentences or people talking to each other and you look around and there's nobody near you, it's like, what are those voices?
I'm gonna play one more time. At the very beginning, it almost seems like it's like a hollow scream. Henry, play one more time. See, I hear that. That's just me. I hear like a almost sounds like a little kid faintly in the background screaming.
Yeah.
That's what I hear, but what do I know?
I wish I had answers. Yeah, no, but I wish I had answers because that's why I don't like saying what they are because I don't want to feed that into your head. Because if we've all come up with the same, hey, it sounded like this, maybe it makes it more real to me. You know, because I want to question everything. It's like, am I really hearing, you know, the voices of children? And why are they stuck in these buildings from the 1800s? You know, it's like you feel bad for them, but it's like, they don't sound like they're in pain. Like, hi, Daddy. You know, she sounded like she was happy. It's like, it's weird.
Yeah. Well, we do have like a handful of emails, but before we get to the emails, do you mind if I get my top five paranormal jokes? Because I know Gorgeous Kenny Roberts loved this segment.
No, I go for it.
All right, let's do it.
I'm excited to see if they're really bad or not.
All right, here we go.
They're going to be really bad.
All right. Okay, number five. And if you guys know these, you know, just blurt them out. Okay, here we go. What kind of street do ghosts prefer to live on?
I don't know, Dave Lowe.
A dead end.
Oh man.
Okay. See, I told you they're bad.
Okay. Number four.
Bad joke.
Okay, number four. Where does a ghost go on vacation?
Where?
Malibu.
Oh man. No.
That was bad.
Okay, number three. Okay, Bob, you should get this one. What do you call a couple of average ghosts?
Paranormal.
You got it. Paranormal.
I'm not sure.
Paranormal.
Is that what it was?
Paranormals. Yep. Oh yep. Goodness. All right.
A paranormal.
I know Kenny will love this one. What do you call ghost breast?
I don't know. What do you call ghost breast?
Paranormal entities.
Oh no.
All right. Here we go. The number one joke. Here we go. My friend asked me to tell him about my paranormal experiences. I said, I've been ghosted by multiple women.
Oh, that was bad.
All right. Wow. I got that out of my system. I got that.
Hey, Dave, before the email, was there a video or something we were going to talk about?
Okay. Okay. So the video is from an old Cowtown Museum, and there's a building there. It's called the Murdoch House. Mr. Murdoch lived in this house, and he started our local newspaper back in the 1890s. And his daughter passed away in this house. She was 7 years old. Her name was Love Ann, like the letter N, Tangle. It's like a flower back in the old days, but now it's a weed. But she had spinal meningitis. And this video is just like a couple weeks old. And I'm walking around with a flashlight. I was on live on Facebook, actually. I'm walking around with my phone and a black light flashlight. And I get to the room, and in this room is where her viewing was after she passed away. Back in the old days, they always had viewings in the house.
Uh-huh.
So they had her viewing in this parlor. And when I went to pan over, somebody on the live stream were like, what just moved? And it almost looks like it's a little kid like ducking behind the table.
Wow.
It's pretty creepy. I don't know if you guys saw that, but once you
hear,
dead center right by the table. It looks like there's a head and shoulders, and it looks like a duck's underneath. Because I wasn't moving at the time, and it moved opposite of how my light was. You know, I tried to reconstruct this whole video thinking it was a play of light, you know, trying to debunk it. And it looks like a little kid. I mean, it's just weird. That's why I always put the question out, what do you guys think? You know, because I don't want to tell people it's paranormal because I don't know.
Right.
But it sure looks to me like a little kid ducking down. And I thought you guys would like that real quick. You know, that's why I posted it on your
page.
Yeah,
it was cool. Yeah, I saw that shadow right away. It was like dropping down. I was like, ooh, what was that?
See, and at the time, I never saw it at the time because I was busy, you know, talking and, you know, trying to be, you know, trying to keep the people entertained at home that were watching. So I was like in my mode of, you know, oh, we're in a creepy house, you know, and the whole aura. So I wasn't really taking things seriously. I was just trying to entertain. And, somebody would just say, hey, there's a little kid that was just in that room. I was like, what are you talking about? And I went back and flipped it. And I was like, holy cow. You know, so it's like, it's kind of cool that you just catch things like that when you're not trying to. It's like, you know, the ghosts are just like, they're just doing their thing. And it's like, wait a minute. There's this weird guy in my house shining a flashlight that I don't know what it is. We've actually gotten people like saying fire, fire, when you were walking around with flashlights. Because you think about it, back in the 1800s, they didn't know what a flashlight was.
Right.
You know, and if their spirits are still there, they know, he's a wizard. He's carrying fire around in his hand. You know, you don't really know. So I always try to explain to him, it's a lantern. It's not going to hurt you. It's not fire, you know, because, you know, us turning it on and off. I mean, that, if you think about it, I mean, that's insane to somebody back in the 1800s, you know, all this technology that we have, you know, they barely lived to be 50, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's just amazing and mind boggling. But, okay. Yeah. Are you guys ready? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm ready.
You've got mail.
You guys ready for some emails?
Let's do it.
Sure.
All right. Go ahead, Gordis Kenny Roberts. Go ahead. Read the first one.
All right. All right. Looks like we got one from Jason Cooper. Thank you, Jason, for reaching out. What is your most scariest moment when it came to an investigation?
The most scared I've ever been was not paranormal. Okay. So we're in this old church, and it is a church nowadays, and it was a church like back in the 1800s. But it used to be there was a rabbi there, and we were down in the rooms, like there were shower rooms down there. And, you know, I don't know if you know about the religion and all that good stuff that, you know, they used to clean people, you know, cleansing and all that kind of stuff down there. Anyway, so we're standing there, and I'm with an investigator, and she's standing right next to me, and you hear this crazy sound, like, and it was loud enough, we heard it with our own ears, and she freaked out and grabbed me, and I, you know, got reaction. I was like, what? You know, she scared me by jumping and grabbing onto me, and come to find out it was just one of those automatic air fresheners on the wall.
Oh, gotcha.
Like every 5 minutes I make that noise.
Yeah.
So when you're in the dark and you're in that situation, you don't expect that. And that sound, you know, we were in pitch black and couldn't see anything. And she grabbed me, and that's what scared me. So it wasn't from actual like a ghost or anything, because I don't really get scared of those because I'm there to find them. So if something happens, you know, I'm not going to run away.
Right.
If I see a spirit or something, knowing me, I'd probably run towards it. Just because that's what I'm here to do. You see all those guys on the TV shows. It's like, you know, do something, and it does something, and they're like, oh, no, and they run away. And it's like, wait a minute, you're there for that reason. You just asked them to do something, and they did, and now you're scared. So, yeah, she scared me by grabbing my arm, and I was like, you know, she was like, there's a demon coming after us. And come to find out, it was just the air freshener.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's awesome. All right. Our next email is from Missy Hilton. Wonder if she's a cousin to Missy Hyatt. But she emailed murkychronicles@gmail.com. And that was a joke, by the way. I have a F, Mary, Kill for you all to play. Okay. F, Mary, Kill. Reagan McNeil from The Exorcist. Carrie White from Carrie. And Samara Morgan from The Ring. Who wants to go first?
Jeez.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I couldn't kill little kids, so Reagan would probably... you can't marry a little kid.
Nope.
You couldn't. F a little kid, even though she did with the cross. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Oh, yes.
yeah, so... That's a tough one. Man, probably Carrie. I'd probably have to, maybe all of the above with Carrie, because, you know, she has those cool powers, and yeah, maybe her. And the girl from The Ring's just creepy. I don't know about her.
I would just go celibate.
Oh yeah. none of the above.
You gotta answer it, Dave Love. There's no getting
okay.
out of it.
Well, we'll say they're all of age, and I'm sure she meant, you know, they were all
like
of age.
Three or whatever, one of the later ones.
Well, yeah. So if they were all grown up and over 18, I would kill the exorcist. Oh, wait, no, this is tough. Exorcist might be a freak, so. Okay.
Yeah, but the exorcist, you know, there's a demon and a little kid. So are you killing the demon or are you killing the little kid if you kill her?
Okay.
That's true.
I would F the demon. I would kill Samara Morgan and marry Carrie White.
There you go.
All right, Kenny.
All right. I would go with, I'll go Samara, kill Reagan, and marry Carrie.
Why would you
marry Carrie?
Why would you F Samara?
Why not?
She was ugly.
Maybe he's into those creepy girls that live in a well. I don't know.
Right?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. She'd always be wet.
Oh, no.
Moist.
Oh, moist. Just like Duncan Hines. Yeah. Duncan Hines. Okay, real quick question. Why do people get grossed out for the word moist, but it's okay to be on a Duncan Hines box for moist cake?
That's a good question.
I don't want my cake moist. I want it fluffy and good, not moist.
Okay.
When I think of moist, it's like, you know, like your socks after you've been at the gym for a couple hours. That's moist. It's like, I don't want my cake like that.
See, when I think moist, I won't even go there. But anyways, go ahead for the next email, Kenny.
All right. From Hastings Walker, Mr. Bob Gilmer, have you had any experience using the Ouija board, which we've kind of covered, and have you used one on one of your jobs?
Yeah, actually, at Old Castle Museum, we set one up, but we don't touch it, and we set all the equipment around it, and every time I go to the spirit, I can send you the video. Every time I go near it, all the meters start going off. Like, I'll go, I'm going to touch it, and then beep, and then I back away, and then it goes, and then it stops. So something in there does not want me to touch it.
Wow.
And I start messing with it. I'm like, I'm going to touch it. I'm going to touch the butt. And I barely put my finger on the planchette, and all the meters start going crazy. But yeah, I have that on video. I can send it to you if you wanted to see it. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. I can't explain it.
Has it ever moved when you've come back?
Yeah, not the planchette hasn't moved when we come back, but it's moved. We had a psychic come in, and she sat down, and she wanted to mess with it. And I was like, okay, I'm warning you that it doesn't want you to. And I explained the whole thing to her. And she sits down, puts her fingers on it, and her friends sat next to her and put her fingers on it. The thing went so fast that they had to let go, and it shot right at the psychic girl.
Oh,
like, man. The planchette actually, wow, like, flew at her head. And this is in front of like seven people. So, and I was just like, I told you not to mess with it. It doesn't want you to mess with it. So whatever spirit is in there is like, you know, they're trying to tell you, don't use it. So it's pretty creepy.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Our next email question from Cabian Kaster, emailed murkychronicles@gmail.com. What are the signs of poltergeists, and have you experienced any of them?
That's a good question, because when you think of poltergeists, you think of the movie, you know, like
right. The
TV people and all this. But true poltergeist activity is mostly caused by young teenage girls. We always get like, well, there's stuff flying around the room and all this and stuff, you know, all the drawers open up. And the first question I ask is, do you have any daughters, and how old are they? Because it's really hard to explain, but doing research and stuff, girls that are going through their first time of, you know, when they get their monthly friend, their hormones are all over the place. And a lot of the activity in the home are caused by the girls, like their emotional stress. If they're having a bad day, they go into the house and they're like, I just don't want to talk. And then something will shoot across the room. And they think it's a ghost, but it's really her energy, her kinetic energy. And I always tell people that within a couple of years, that should stop, because it's almost like the Carrie thing. You know, it's like she can control things like that when she gets angry. People do that too. I mean, that's usually the first question. That's the only poltergeist stuff I've ever had, was like little, like kids actually causing stuff to happen, just from their emotions and from their changing bodies, you know, once they start hitting puberty. it's a big thing, and girls for some reason seem to be more strong about it than boys.
Okay.
But right. I've actually seen like cups and stuff go shooting across the room if you make the girl mad enough, and it's almost like an experiment. I was like, no, and it's like, I'm sorry, I don't want to, you know, anger her, but you bring up something and you know, you're just sitting there filming mom talking to her daughter, and I was like, just agitate her and see what happens. And a glass went from the counter and it shot across the room and it smashed on the wall, like right in front of all of us.
So are they always?
It was her causing it.
So by them throwing objects at you, does that mean since they're female poltergeists, are they always correct?
Yes. You never want to argue. Yes. I'm sorry, man. I don't want to sleep on the couch tonight. You're right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Next one, Kenny.
Yeah, but,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sarah Jordan. Go ahead.
No, you have more to add?
No, I was just going to say, like, when you think of poltergeist, most people think of spirits, but it's usually caused by actual humans. We cause the poltergeist activity and not the actual poltergeist itself.
Wow, and you said it's mostly females, right?
Well, mostly, for my interaction, yes. For, you know, in all these years of doing it, that's usually my first question. Well, yeah, it's a household of all girls. There's no guys that live here. And it was like, oh, dear. You know, and once their clocks all get on the same, you know, they all go through... You know, their friends come to visit once a month all at the same time. There's a lot of emotional stress and stuff.
Right.
You know, bring me chocolate. And if you don't bring chocolate, then, you know, the walls start caving in on you and stuff.
Oh, yeah. All right, yeah. Kenny.
All right. So Sarah Jordan sent us an email. Says, is it possible a pet, dog, or cat can detect paranormal activity? And as their senses are far superior to ours. And reason I'm asking, my neighbor claims her house is haunted. Every time my dog goes over there, he acts really strange and growling at something that is not there.
Yeah, 100%. They have a sense of, you know, some investigators actually use dogs, like cadaver dogs and stuff. They'll go in there and they're actually trained to pick up magnetic fields. Like they can sense high magnetic fields and they'll go right to the spot and you can actually trace and maybe people are getting EVPs there. I have two cats and if you ever seen a cat just sit there and watch something crawling on the wall and it's not there, mm-hmm. or a dog just staring at a wall, are they looking at a ghost? I think so. We've actually gotten animal, like a cat meowing at an investigation and there's no cats anywhere to be found. And we're actually got like EVPs of meowing.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think animals are very in tune with the spirit energies because they pick up people. I mean, you go into a dog and my dog for some reason just doesn't like this one certain person, you know, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. They pick up their energy and maybe they don't like that person's energy. So I think they can pick up spirits as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Next one, Dave.
Yep. Our last one here. And this was from Tammy J. And she emailed murkychronicles@gmail.com. How can you tell the difference between an angel orb or a reflection from a light?
This is a question we get asked a lot of orbs. You know, like when you take pictures and you see the little round white. I call them dust because 99.9% of the time it's dust particles on your camera or in the air because you're in these old buildings walking around, you're causing dust to build up. You know, these floors are so dirty and you take a picture in the dark and you're reflecting off the dust particles. A true orb, I believe, gives off its own light source. Like I've actually been in dark places and you see there's a old salt mine that's here in Kansas and it's a museum and you can go down 650 feet down into the ground and six miners have died down there and you're standing there and it's for miles in this mine, pitch black. You can't see your hand in front of your face. It's so dark. And all of a sudden you see this blue ball of light go shooting across the room and it makes no rhyme or reason what it is. And I believe that those orbs are like spirit orbs that actually give off their own light source, where the ones in the pictures are just kind of dust mostly.
It was like the flash reflecting off of it. That,
right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause you see so many pictures. I mean, you could go do that. Just, you know, go up and, just go to any like dirt road or whatever and kick your foot and then take a picture. You'll catch those orbs, and it's not paranormal. It's just the dust that you kicked up into the air.
Gotcha.
If it gives off its own light source, I believe that's like the angel orbs is what people call them, or spirit orbs. It's their energy before they manifest. It's like how they travel is what a lot of people think.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we're running short on time here, and I mean, we could be on for hours. We got so many questions for you.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd love to have you back on as a guest if you'd like to come back.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on.
So
yeah, that would be fun. I'd love to.
Awesome, awesome. So, you know, before we go, would you please give out all your shout-outs or plugs or anything you want the listeners to hear or how they can get a hold of you? You could take it away.
Okay, on Facebook, I do a podcast. It's like pop culture, kind of nerd, toys, all kinds of stuff. It's called Villain Villa Podcast. And then I do a podcast of the history of Old Cowtown Museum, where I talked about, it's all history related, and it's just called Assembling History Podcast. You can find those on Facebook. And if you're into reading and stuff, my wife is an author. She has over 30 books. Her name is Candace Gilmer. You can just look her up, and you can find all of her books online and stuff. And if you're into paranormal romance and all that kind of stuff, check her out. But
all right. Anything else you want to add before we go?
I think he's stuck.
I think he's froze.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll end it on this.
Am I?
Okay, now you're back. Now you're back. Wait. You froze. Yep.
Yeah. I would just love to like do a wrestling show with you guys sometime, because I'm a huge wrestling fan. I would love to just sit and talk about wrestling sometime.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, it'd be a pleasure. We'll set it up. We'll set it up. Well, let's do it.
Awesome. Cool.
Okay.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yes. Yes. And we got some stories, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Oh, dude. I love hearing behind the scenes stories. I love it.
All right. Well, anything else, gorgeous one, before we sign off?
No, just once again, thank you so much, Bob, for coming on, and can't wait to have you on again and hopefully do this wrestling podcast as well with you.
Awesome. Sounds awesome.
All right. Hashtag save our children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. And if she has an apple, she has a banana.
Banana.
I got a happy ending today.
Woo!
Yowie!
Zoinks!